Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. God is good. All the time. You guys are getting really good at that. Welcome to First United Methodist Church, Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Welcome to the online people as well. My name is Bruce Stark. I'm a member of the congregation here, and I'm more than happy to be talking to you, and I hope that you're more than happy to listen. Welcome to church this morning. If this is a first time for you, we welcome you. We hope you find something here that will touch your heart so that you might return again. If you're a regular here, we're glad to see you too. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. And when you walked in, you were given a bulletin and a fancy-dancy connection card. Please fill out the connection card. Fill it out so that we know what's going on. Look at the back. There's plenty of opportunities for you to get involved in the church. Whether you're new or just a regular, you can still get involved, and we're glad that you're here. If you have prayer concerns, there's a yellow card in the pew backs, and you can just fill one of them out. If you have prayer concerns, they'd be more than happy to pray for you. Please fill out the yellow cards for prayers, the blue card for connection, and put them into the collection plate as it comes around. Our worship music is being led by Susan with Arla and... I knew it was Judy. I just wanted to see if she remembered. Susan, Arla, and Judy are leading us in music. Kelly is going to be leading us with scripture. And like I said, I'm your worship host. I'm going to try to quit making a fool out of myself. Sunday school for kids is downstairs. If you want to take your kids to Sunday school, please feel free. Pastor John and Pastor Lindsay have tested positive for COVID again. And they won't be with us today, so our sermon will be coming online. But Pastor John and Pastor Lindsay said they would appreciate all the prayers they could get. Their symptoms are not too bad, but they figure it's safer to stay home and just kind of make sure that they don't spread it. So with that being said, please rise as you are able and join us in worship.
Jesus calls us for the tumult of a life's wild restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. As of old the apostles heard, the Galilean lake, turn from home and toil and kindred, leaving all for Jesus' sake. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store. To thine obedience, serve and love.
morning. My name is Kelly Myers, and I'm going to be your liturgist this morning. Welcome. Let us lift up our hearts and voices as we join in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we humbly come before you in worship today. Help us to recognize what is temporary in this life and what is lasting. Help us to follow your example of selfless love for all. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning's scripture is from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 and 7 through 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. It's good to be with you by video this morning. Unfortunately, Pastor John and I aren't with you in person in the sanctuary at Brighton or Whitmore Lake. We are home because of COVID, and we'll be home for the next few days, but we look forward to being with you guys again soon for in-person worship. Know that we're doing okay. Our symptoms are mild, but we appreciate your prayers and your kind words sent our way. Church, I'd invite you to join me in prayer now. Loving and gracious God, hear the prayers of our hearts this morning, the cries of our voices, the laments and the praises from within. Hear our plea for peace and justice in this world, for mercy and compassion to reign, for your grace to be made evident, and for your love to overflow throughout the world. Loving God, open our ears to the scripture this morning, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and our bodies to be moved to action. Help us to follow faithfully, God, as your disciples. And so now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. May you speak through me and to me. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Everyone loves a good dinner invitation and a great dinner party, right? Well, a few weeks ago at our Whitmore Lake campus, our Whitmore Lake congregation gathered at one of our congregation's members' houses on the lake. It was a beautiful, sunny Sunday afternoon. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, only sunshine and great blue skies around us. The afternoon included a good old-fashioned church potluck. Whitmore Lake members brought watermelon and baked beans and salads and brownies and all sorts of great goodies to go along with hot dogs that were cooked over the grill. And as we sat down to dine, there were a variety of seats to sit at. You could choose if you wanted to sit at the table or at the porch swing seats. There were also Adirondack chairs and even a couple of tire swing seats as well. The food was delicious, the seats were plentiful, the weather was fantastic, and the company was marvelous. And enjoying a good seat and some delicious food is pretty common for church folks because it's something that we know and love to do is have some good food and break bread. Well, it's also something that Jesus spoke a lot about as well in one of his parables from Luke's gospel. And we're going to think about this parable this morning that was read for us from Luke's gospel, chapter 14. Let's think about that parable this morning. Well, in this parable, Jesus, when he's sitting down to dine, he sits down for dinner with a group of Pharisees. And he was being watched very closely as he's gathering now for this dinner party. And no doubt Jesus was going to be watched closely because by this time in his ministry, Jesus had gained really quite a following, kind of like a social media celebrity that has 1,000 or hundreds of thousands of followers that watch their every move, that as they become social influencers and gain all these likes and comments and gets a good following. Well, the Pharisees, too, were going to really watch Jesus, watch his every move. They wanted to see what he was going to do next. He was known for doing things like healing on the Sabbath or speaking to those who are outcast and welcoming them in and including them. And so the Pharisees now were going to watch Jesus intently as they gathered for this meal, curious what he might do as his next move. So while they're at the dinner party with every eye on him, Jesus took a moment to capture their attention, and he gave us an important lesson. He gave an important lesson to the dinner party guests there through a parable. Well, noticing how many guests in attendance had kind of elbowed their way and rushed to the table for the best seats, Jesus pointed out that they shouldn't be so quick to the table, and they shouldn't be so quick to bump elbows, you know, to fight for those best seats. Of course, we can relate to wanting the best seats at some place. Let's be honest, no one wants to go to the movie theater or the live theater productions and be stuck sitting behind somebody who's really tall that you can't see over. Maybe they're wearing a hat and they're blocking your entire view. And we want good seats in other places as well. No one wants to get stuck in the middle seat on an airplane. You either want to sit in the aisle or you're going to want to sit by the window to look out. You want a little extra space, but we don't want to be stuck in the middle of an airplane, or you feel so confined and there's no elbow room. We know what some seats are better than others, and so we can probably relate to those folks gathered for this dinner party, rushing to the table for the best seats. But then as Jesus continues to speak, he shared a word about humility. Jesus asked them to take a large dose, a large spoonful of humility, actually, in exchange for the pride or the positions that the people were jockeying for. He was asking them to take a spoonful of humility, perhaps a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down, as Mary Poppins says. And this dose of humility, perhaps a great spoonful, was indeed intended to help them set aside the ego, put it down for a moment, and experience some humility, to stop the elbow butting and to pick up the spoonful of humility for a moment in time. Well, asking for a dose of humility, it wouldn't have necessarily come naturally to those present in the room. Well, who's present? The Pharisees, of course, are present in the room. They're among the most important guests. And as you might remember, the Pharisees were influential. They were Jews who strictly observed Jewish laws and Jewish customs. So gulping down a good dose of humility wouldn't have necessarily come natural either, as it wasn't really a part of the Greco-Roman cultural values either. You know, taking a poor seat or a lesser position wasn't a cultural value at the time in which Jesus lived, yet it certainly was a Jesus-centered value to be one of his followers. So there's an author, a theologian, a writer, by the name of Janine Brown, and I came across her writing in the past few weeks, and she writes these great words I want us to consider this morning about humility and a little bit of the culture for in Jesus' time as he's writing this parable. Janine Brown writes, "How are we to understand this first response of Jesus to the very explicit social ranking at this meal? We might note initially that such social ranking was commonplace in the Greco-Roman society. In fact, meals were situations that particularly highlighted social disparities in the first century world. There is a store of advice given about how to act at such meals." She goes on and continues to say, "Jesus goes further in warning against seeking out the most honored seats. His exhortation is to pursue humility, a concept with significant status connotations. Humility," she writes, "humility was very rarely considered a virtue in Greco-Roman moral discourse. And yet humility is to mark the followers of Jesus, according to much of the New Testament witness." End quote from that author, from Janine Brown. As we think about this parable highlighting humility and this call to be these humble disciples of Jesus Christ, ones that aren't going to elbow our way to those best seats at the table, I'm reminded of the words of scripture from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 that say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourself. The best seats are not meant for ourselves. The best positions in the room aren't meant for ourselves. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, that we've heard this morning from the Message translation, and the words of Jesus say, what I'm saying is this: if you walk around all high and mighty, then you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to simply be yourself, you'll become more than yourself. Humility, a good dose of humility is important for life. It really is. So if this parable in part is to teach us a word about humility, it also kind of goes a step further. There's more that we can glean and take away from this parable. This parable also invites us to examine who is present at the room and who is invited to such a party, where this ego then can even have a chance to get evaluated and where humility can be asked as a virtue to be taken on. But we can scrutinize at this dinner list and we can see who is even in the room and who is getting an invite. You know, Jesus tells them, as we turn our words back to the scripture, as we think about who's in the room and who's getting these invites, Jesus again says in the scripture, the next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your friends and your family and rich neighbors, the kinds of people who will return the favor. Instead, invite some people who never get invited out. The misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. You'll be an experience, a blessing. They won't be able to return the favor, but the favor will be returned. Oh, it will be returned at the resurrection of God's people. Jesus' parable challenges those present at the dinner party and for us, as we hear the scripture in 2022, to embrace and to practice humility and to embrace and practice this radical hospitality and this inclusivity. Writer and theologian Mitzi Smith writes, quote, "Jesus also advises the dinner hosts, the leader of the Pharisees, that his guest list should not just be limited to those within and above his social class, but he should also invite the marginalized, the diseased and the physically challenged, and are those who are socially and economically humbled. He should include people who cannot return the favor of hosting a feast to which to be invited. End quote. Those words from Mitzi Smith. You know, from this parable, we're seeing some are jockeying for the best position at the table and are in great need of this dose of humility, that spoonful of sugar to help that medicine go down, right? Needing that dose of humility as their elbow butting there. And while others we're seeing from this parable aren't even getting an invitation to the event in the first place. Who is not getting an invitation? Who's getting invited but not getting a seat at the table? And who's not only getting invited and a seat at the table, but who's hogging all the space around the table? There's so many good questions that we can consider from this. So it leads me to ask further and deeper, you know, how can we then expand the invite list so that more people are present? And how can we expand the table so that there's more room for people to dine? How can we add some more inserts to the table, some more leaves to the table, and make the space bigger? How can we reposition the table also so that there's a seating chart where there's not a pecking order necessarily, and so we don't end up with the adult table and the rickety old kids table, that folding table? You remember sitting at the kids folding table, maybe as you gathered for Thanksgiving dinner as a kid, where there'd be that rickety old kids table that wobbled, the cardboard table there, and it wobbled as you tried to eat and it shake, and the adults would have their greater seats at the table. And somehow as you grew up and became a college kid or young adult, you were still finding yourself at that rickety old table. How can we, as we consider Jesus' parable, how can we expand the table and extend the invite list so that more are present and included? How might Jesus' call to radical hospitality, to inclusivity, be played out in our church, in our world today? Who's missing on the guest list at our church? Who's missing? As you look around the sanctuary today, there's seats and room and space for more folks to join us. Who might you know that we could include? Maybe they look like us or they don't. Maybe they have similar life experiences or they don't. But there's space among us at this great table of grace. Jesus' parable is challenging those present at the dinner table and those of us hearing the scripture in 2022 to embrace and practice this radical hospitality and inclusivity. As the Pharisees and the distinguished guests gathered for dinner, Jesus certainly got an invite. He got it and he was included and he was on this preferred guest list, I guess you could say. Yet sometimes we forget Jesus' backstory. Sometimes I wonder if we really paused and thought about his story. For some folks, remembered his upbringing and his life experiences, for some folks, he might check some boxes that would actually exclude him from being a part of the dinner party. You might remember that Jesus was born to an unwed teenage girl. For some people, that would have been taboo and a box to check and taken away an invite for him. And then when it came time for Mary and Joseph to travel to Bethlehem for the census, there was this moment when they found themselves without a home. There just was no room at the inn. And then later, when Jesus was a young baby, a toddler, King Herod had it out for him and for all the baby boys in the area. His power was being challenged as king, and this led Mary and Joseph and Jesus to temporarily become refugees to Egypt in search of safety. For some people, Jesus checked a few boxes that might have gotten him not really an invite to the dinner table, actually. Yet Jesus certainly was welcomed and invited. He was an honored guest. In fact, he was someone that they faithfully followed. It's amazing how sometimes society is good at dictating who is in and who is out. If we check too many boxes, it might be taboo and our invite might get canceled. But that's not how it works with invites from God. All of us are invited to come and know the love and grace of God. Jesus has an invite for you, and there's a space and a place for you at the table. Theologian and artist and songwriter Mark Miller once composed these lyrics saying, "Let's talk together of a time when we can share a feast, when pride and power, they kneel to serve the lonely and the least. And joy will set the table as we join our hands to pray, singing, welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. All are welcome, the love of God to share, because all of us are welcome here. All are welcome in this place." Church, it's joyful and wonderful to gather for meals like we did at our Whitmore Lake campus most recently. It's joyful and wonderful to break bread and to enjoy one another's company. It's joyful and wonderful to get an invite. And as we look around the room this morning, there's lots of space between us and beside us. There's more space for more folks. There's more space for people to come and experience the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ. From his death upon the cross to his resurrection bringing new life, the whole world is invited to come and experience his grace. The invite's there for you. So this morning, I'd like you to imagine for a moment that in your back left pocket is an invite. And as you reach in there, it's an invite for you to come and to join the table, in humility, of course. Then I'd like you to imagine for a moment, as you reach into your back right pocket, there's another invite. And you're to give this invite to another person that they may come and experience the life-saving grace and love of Jesus Christ. Our challenge is to accept the invite that we find in our left pocket and then to give away the invite that we find in our right pocket. But once you give away that invite in your right pocket, you can reach back in and another one will magically appear. You're going to discover that there's another one there because the invites, they never stop running out. There's a place for us here. There's a place for all of us here. There's an invite waiting for you and a reminder from Jesus also to take that dose of humility. Perhaps a spoonful of sugar will help the medicine go down. May we all seek to humbly follow Jesus Christ in our lives through thought, word, and action. May we seek to humbly follow Jesus, inviting others to know his grace as well. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your grace and love, your mercy and compassion. We thank you for your death upon the cross and your resurrection bringing new life, that through you, Jesus, we might know you and know the love of the Father. Help us to know that the invite is always standing for us to come to the table of grace, that it is ever expansive, that more leaves at the table can be placed, that other people are welcome to join us, to know you. Lord, help us to expand that table ever, ever widely, that others may know you more fully. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we enter into a time of prayer this morning, I want to call your attention to the prayer quilt. The prayer quilt is for Lisa Graham, a friend of Jill Jones. On your way out of the sanctuary, please stop at the table, tie a knot, say a prayer, and sign the card, and let Lisa know that we're wrapping her in the warmth of the quilt and the warmth of our prayers. But now, if you would please raise a hand towards the quilt, we'll do a prayer together for Lisa. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless Lisa and give her strength, courage, patience, and faith to face the weeks and months ahead. We ask your blessings on her family, friends, and the medical personnel helping her. May this prayer quilt be a constant reminder of God's love and hope and of the thoughts and prayers of those who tie knots and say prayers for her. Help us be reminded that two things are always there for us, peace and love. The prayers we say for others, wrap them in the peace and comfort them like a warm quilt. Prayers are tangible evidence of the love we share with them. Amen. Now, when Lindsay was talking about potlucks, I've been a Methodist all my life, so I'm quite familiar with potlucks. But it reminded me of a story of a woman who was nearing the end of her life, and she went to the pastor and she wanted to make arrangements. She wanted certain scriptures read, she wanted certain hymns sung at her celebration of life. And she says, the most important thing in my casket, I want to be holding a fork. Well, pastor wasn't sure about this. He says, well, what's the fork represent? She says, for every potluck I've ever been to, when they came to clear the plates away, they take the plates away, but if they ever told you, keep your fork, it meant something better was coming. Cheesecake, carrot cake, apple crisp, something was going to be good. So when they look in my casket and they see me sitting there holding the fork and they ask about it, tell them that the fork represents the fact that I know that something better is coming. Remember that next time somebody tells you, keep your fork. Now join me in an attitude of prayer. Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. Encourage our friends, our family, our neighbors, that they may find the ability to love as you do, to care for each other, and to show your love to those that need it. Reveal your goodness to all who cannot attend today. Strengthen and sustain them. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them, to show them your love. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, those that are struggling with health issues, those that are struggling with financial burdens, help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them, that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Encourage and assist all who suffer the ravages of storms, especially in Kentucky, earthquakes, especially in the Philippines, and all natural disasters in our world. Relieve the needs of those who endure famine and war. Establish peace in the world. Cause anger and hostility to give way to reconciliation. Unite your church so that we may be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. We ask for blessings for our leaders that give them guidance, that the decisions they make may be tempered with your love, that the strength you give them will help them to make the decisions that will give us hope. Guide them with your mercies, that your love may fill their hearts, that your love may be shown through them. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions, as well as giving you praise and adoration for all the good you give us in this world, as we join together in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you know it was coming, don't forget. God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. At this time, I would like to invite Macy and Colin Robertson up for a youth mission moment. I understand that they're going to tell us a little bit about their trip down to Cass. Macy and Colin, it's all yours.
Thank you. Good morning, First Church. We hope everyone's been having a good summer. My name is Macy, and then this is my brother, Colin. And we are here to give an update on how our youth mission trip went this summer. So back in June, we went down to Cass Community Social Services in Detroit for a week. And we were there doing a lot of different tasks, and we'll explain some of the pictures soon. But so this year, we went down with a super small group from First Presbyterian Church of Cadillac. We went down there with our group, and then they came. A few of us stayed down there at Cass Community Church, downtown Detroit, and then others drove back and forth each day down there. So this year, as you can tell from the pictures, we are pretty landscape heavy. In the past, we've done a lot of construction down there, but this year we are doing a lot of tasks that required mowing, laying sod, and we'll explain those. So one of our biggest jobs back in June was to kind of clean up old Catholic church that Cass recently bought. They bought an old convent, which they're going to turn into a shelters for families, so they don't have to be separated when they need some help down there. So there was a massive field that we had to mow, and you never knew what your mower was going to hit while you were mowing in the field. So we did that, and then we weeded a lot of the areas around there. That picture right there was a big alley that we were weeding, a lot of ants and different things.
So one of the main things that we did was laying sod, but this was quite a heavy job. It took us 3 days, and part of the reason for that was the ground was closer to concrete than it was actual soil. So for 3 days, we had pickaxes, and we were just chopping up the ground, trying to make it as good as they could to lay sod. And we had to take out rocks that were way too big, bricks, glass. We found a lot of interesting things like old pipes, stuff you usually don't find in our backyards. And so we organized all that, made all the ground more fertile and easier to lay the sod. And lastly, we laid the sod. And the last big thing that we did, which was take out furniture from the convent. And this was furniture that was dropped in the back of the church. So this furniture was wet, soggy, moldy. But we filled a whole dumpster full of it, which was quite disgusting, but it felt good after it was done, knowing that we cleaned the place up, and that's what we did at Cass.
And then a few nights we had little activities. So Reverend Sue Patu down at Cass would take us to different places downtown Detroit. One of the nights there, a few people went down to the Detroit Riverwalk. And then another night, we went to go see where the Detroit riots in the 60s happened. So that was really interesting to see. And then on the last night, Cass treated us to a really good Mexican dinner in downtown Detroit. So that was a nice way to close out our week. We want to say thank you to all of us and donated to the youth trip this year, and we hope to go back there next year and do a lot more interesting and fun stuff. So thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Now, one of the ways that we keep programs like that going is by your tithes and offerings. If you're a guest with us this morning, just if this is your first time, just consider your presence here a gift to us. If you're here on a regular basis or you're a member, please give generously so that the programs of the church can continue like the program you just heard about. These kids did a great job, and we're very proud of them, and we want to keep that going. At this time, I'd like to call the ushers forward for our tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as part of our worship and praise, we bring our offerings forward. We give as you have given to us, not for a reward, but so that your kingdom may be alive in us today. Bless our offerings to do the work you have set before us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, I just have a few announcements I'd like to share with you. First, on Sunday, September 4th, which is the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, we will be celebrating baptisms at our Whitmore Lake campus. If you haven't been baptized, or if you'd like to remember your baptism, please save the date on your calendar. And please contact Pastor Lindsay or Pastor John and express your interest in participating in the baptism celebration. Also, the United Methodist Women are holding their world-famous salad buffet luncheon at the Brighton campus on Thursday, August 18th, between 11:30 and 1. Tickets are available from a UMW member in the main office or at the door. Suggested donations are $12 for adults, $5 for children ages 5 through 12, and children under 5 are free. And finally, and very excited, week kicks off Vacation Bible School at our Brighton campus. It's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. During VBS, children and their families will be asked to donate fresh fruit and veggies to be distributed daily by the Torch food truck. The congregation is invited to participate by donating spices and seasonings Sunday, which is today. Next Sunday. For example, you may donate garlic powder, Italian seasoning, paprika, salt, pepper, oregano, cumin, lemon pepper, chili powder, whatever your favorite. Please bring your donations of food spices by next Sunday, August 7th. And Allison, you have further announcement on that?
Who thinks we should have given Kelly more spices to name, right?
Yeah, right.
Did a beautiful job. The first thing I have to say is that this church is amazing. So everyone here should just like raise your hand and give yourself a pat on the back so that you know. Honestly, not all of you did it, and you need to do that. Go ahead. Okay. But honestly, I have been blown away by all of the time and talent and effort that has been given already by so many wonderful volunteers, and I want to say a sincere thank you. So today, after the 11 o'clock service concludes, so around 12. If you feel up to it, you're welcome to come back, and we're going to finish setting up the rest of the building for VBS. So it's just, you know, putting some decorations out, things like that. Having said that, I know a lot of people are staying from the 11 o'clock, but I just want to extend the offer to you, and some very generous people have brought in some lunch to feed the workers who stay. So thank you also, because I know many of you that did that are here know about that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison. We're looking forward to an exciting week of VBS as we welcome our children from the congregation and elsewhere. So, all right, as we leave worship today, let's keep Pastor Lindsay and Pastor John in our prayers. And may you go with the love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus to strengthen you, and the Holy Spirit to guide your path. Now, to love God and serve your neighbor. Amen. Thank you.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.